Good Monday to you, my Walking with Jesus friends. Defining moments are big deals, aren't they? Big for athletic teams, or political movements, or military battlefield engagements, or business plans, and even the healthcare of an ill person. Defining moments are when something happens which is critical in determining the future or the end result. You've probably had several defining moments in your lifetime which, if you'll think about it, they have been major contributing factors in who you are today, where you live, and what your life is all about. Join me again about 1,100 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Samuel was the judicial and spiritual leader of the biblical nation of Israel. Lately, we've been walking the journey of his life, learning some important lessons. 1 Samuel chapter 8 opens with these words. When Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons as judges for Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel. The name of his second son was Abijah, and they served at Beersheba. But Samuel's sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain and accepted bribes and perverted justice. 1 Samuel 8, 1-3. Now pause a few seconds and let those disappointing words penetrate your heart. I'm sure you remember the same was said of Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, which is why God did a miracle, opened the womb of barren Hannah and blessed her with a son, Samuel. It is why Hannah gave her son back to the Lord to serve God at Shiloh, for God was preparing to wipe the spiritual leadership slate clean in Israel. And you'll remember, Eli and both his sons died within hours of each other on the same day, 1 Samuel 4. God had sent a warning and a promise to Eli with these words, I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who will do according to what is in my heart and mind. 1 Samuel 2:35. God raised up Samuel to replace Eli and his sons. As a young boy, Samuel had received a harsh message from God explaining that God was removing Eli and both his sons from the priesthood because of their wickedness and their defilement of that sacred role in Israel. Though young, Samuel had delivered the shocking message to Eli, and sometime later, he was witness to the events which resulted in the word Ichabod being spoken over Shiloh. Remember, we looked closely at those events in 1 Samuel 4 and 5 a few weeks ago. Now, perhaps 60 or 70 years later, Samuel is an old man, thinking about his succession plan and wondering if his sons are ready to replace him as the judicial and spiritual leaders of Israel. We have no record of what Samuel had done to prepare his sons to replace him, but the words we've just read tell us Samuel failed in mentoring his boys. It appears the elders of Israel came to meet with Samuel to discuss leadership transition. And just as Eli's heart was broken as he heard about the analysis of his sons Hophni and Phinehas, so now Samuel's heart broke for the same reason. The record says, So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to Samuel, You are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have. 1 Samuel 8, verse 4 and 5. This was a defining moment for Israel and for Samuel. As much as the people loved and revered Samuel, they could not foresee Samuel's sons as their leaders in Israel. So much so, they did not ask Samuel to appoint a different judge. No, they asked for a king, as they saw other nations had. We must pause to understand. Israel, by God's design, was unique among all the nations of the world. Israel was a theocracy. God himself was the founder and supreme leader of this people called Israel. That's the remarkable story of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, their wives, and Jacob's sons and their descendants. God had challenged this people as individuals, families, clans, and tribes to love and honor God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, Deuteronomy 6. And God promised to be their God and protect them, provide for them, and lead them every day according to what God knew would be best for his people. When there was a God-honoring leader like Moses or Joshua or Samuel, who were passionately faithful to God and communicated to the people whatever God's directions were, and if the people followed God obediently, then peace and prosperity followed. But Israel's history was pockmarked by times when leaders disobeyed God or led the people away from God, and both peace and prosperity collapsed in the chaos and desperate times. Each time leadership transition was on the horizon, the people had the same question. Will we have another Moses or Joshua, or will our next leader fail us? But this time was different, as the elders of Israel made a statement never made before. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have. Brokenhearted, Samuel went to God in prayer, seeking God's guidance. God's response shocked Samuel. Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. As they have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are doing to you. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly and let them know what the king who will reign over them will do. 1 Samuel 8:6-9. If you are a parent or grandparent, it should not be difficult for you to put yourself in this situation. You've warned your kids or grandkids about the dangers, the risks of certain choices. You've rejoiced when they thanked you and turned back to the good road. You've wept as they disregarded your warning and forged ahead into great danger. Let's pause here, 1 week into 2024. No matter your age, what you inherited from your ancestors, or what you are leaving as your legacy to your descendants, as we enter a new year, it's a good time to look closely at the influence and impact of our lives on our families, our friends, our communities. Are your children and grandchildren walking in your ways? Are people drawn to or rejecting the God you have claimed to be your God? I don't know how it happened, but Samuel failed as a father, mentor, and leader for his family. So much so, the people of Israel even rejected the God of Samuel, wanting a human king like other nations. That leaves me stunned, my friends, and I urge us to remain right here, watching the elders of Israel and Samuel and Samuel's failure sons discussing this defining moment and considering the implications for their future. I urge us to look deeply into our own lives, our families, our reputations, and ask God to show us what He sees. It will help if we worship while we reflect.